Welcome back for another episode of the number one Sydney FC podcast in the universe. That is Sky Blue Stories. I'm your host, filling in very big shoes tonight with Jono Finger out, Michelle Morris out, Julian Bombach out. But I have Nick, Mr. Controversy Rojas himself, sharing the hosting duties with me. Nick, how you doing? Long time no see.
I know it's been a bit between recordings, but I'm doing well. Missed being on the pod.
And I call you Mr. Controversy because if I had a dollar for every time that I've seen somebody block you on Twitter, on X, I'd be able to afford a ticket to, you know, the derby in a couple of weeks' time.
Definitely. Yeah, no, too many, what's the term? Too many feathers flocked. Too many people. Too many shoulders have been getting on people.
Yeah,
so.
few people have got their knickers in a twist. Nick.
Just a bit. I mean, some deserve, some not. Obviously, I'm not afraid to push my opinion.
No,
but...
you're not afraid to say what's on your mind. What's even the A-League has blocked you?
Yeah. Oh God, don't even get me started with that. That's a lot. Couldn't even tell you a story on that. I was like, oh, where's my A-League content? And then just find out 3 years ago that I was blocked.
What? You only just realized it recently?
No, I've known for ages, but I was just back then I was just like, far out. I'm like, I clearly must have said something.
all those snowflakes, please. What you say is mostly pretty timid. Who else has blocked you recently?
Oh, just a few, you know, the casual racist, ableist, and homophobes. But
that's it. Yeah,
they can kindly be off in their own way.
Yeah, they can get fucked.
Yeah,
basically. Literally. But look, there's a lot to talk about, from apocalyptic weather in Canberra over the weekend to the boys getting I think the scoreline maybe flattered Adelaide United a little with 2-1. But hey, five games unbeaten. The NPL boys have kicked off their season pretty decently, and we'll have a little chat about that. And I've got who's that Sydney FC player later in the episode. But we'll jump straight into around the grounds, and a massive amount, no less than six of our A-League W players have been selected for the Under-20s Asian Cup. We've got Caspers, of course, goes without saying, Zara Kruger, Indiana, and Janard Dos Santos, Shea Holman, and Talia Franco. And Nick, when those six names were announced, I heard this primal scream just, you know, resonate throughout the neighborhood. It came from somewhere on the northern beaches when Michelle found out that six of our beloved girls, most talented players, some of our most talented players in the team, are going to be missing for, I think, two, maybe three games, when there's only five and a half, or whatever you want to call the Canberra game, five and a half games left in the season. Bittersweet when we're almost a victim of our own success when we've got so many young talented players getting picked for the young Matilda side, Nick.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like there's its ups and downsides. Like I think you gotta only look at the positives. I think it's also some praise again given to Ante for giving all these girls a good chance in the team and being able to show their attributes and talents in the A-League Women's League. And I mean, for all the girls, they deserve their recognition and call-ups. It will be a downer for the girls going forward in those games. But I think you can only look around the positive and just wish them all the best and just hope they come back injury-free.
Absolutely injury-free, because that will be just on the cusp of finals. But look, if Ante and the girls and the squad itself have proven that they have great squad depth, that they can, you know, that next man up or next woman up kind of mentality, you know, when Nat Tobin goes down and other injuries this season, when we've had girls like Haley and Mac and the like, you know, Charlie head off overseas to Brighton, Sarah Hunter over to Paris, you know, that next person up mentality. So we're more than likely we'll see the likes of Margot. We'll see probably good timing in the sense that Lucy Johnson will come back, Shay will come back, or is back. And a young youngster, which I'll mention in a second, who's just got her A-League contract, Maybe Darcy Malone as well, Sienna Zabeska possibly. So, we'll see what happens with the girls, but I'm confident they can still get more points and out of three more likely. So, with that said, Nick, I'll jump down to our youngster, Kaylee. Let me get the spell, Kaylee Tannen Henniker, not Heineken.
Well done.
Henniker, who has already had a time with the squad since the start of the season as a train-on player, was over at Uzbekistan with our pseudo Asian, Champions League thingy-majig cup early on in the season. So the young 18-year-old, who's actually quite a talented rugby league player too, and I think touch or Oztag player as well,
Oh.
has found herself with an A-League contract for the rest of the season as an injury replacement for the unfortunate Fiona Wirtz. So I think she'll not miss a beat, seeing as she's played with the girls since the start of the season, or trained with the girls and had some time with them in Uzbekistan during that time. So look, Nick, like I just mentioned earlier, that next kind of next man up, next woman up mentality, and an opportunity for a youngster.
Yeah, definitely, especially with, like we just mentioned, with the girls heading off for the Asian Cup. And then obviously Fiona's already a huge loss for the girls. So to get her to step in, Kaylee, and like she's obviously proven herself enough to be able to get a contract. And you never know, with any good performances up until the end of the season, she could be. You can never know. There could be down the line some more opportunities for Kaylee in the Sydney squad.
Competition for spots, and we've already proven that our youngsters, age is no barrier. If they're good enough, they're old enough to get a start and play some games. So good luck to Kaylee with her time now in Sydney FC colours. Woody sidelined 12 weeks. What did I say? Was it a stress fracture of the ankle or the foot? Pardon me, not getting it right, but maybe that's a bit of
I think it was the left ankle, it could have been. I don't know. But it's look, it's a huge loss. I think we've all known Wood to be a very talented striker for especially for the youth team levels for Sydney, and he's been able to make his like the so some impact in the first team squad. Obviously, he's had a few chances this year. We know people are going to draw back to the unfortunate miss that's been rippling all over social media and globally since it happened. But I think Wood's still young. He's got a lot of promise in him. But yeah, it's 12 weeks out. That might be his season. That's basically his season done, isn't it? So
pretty
it's
much.
very unfortunate. We can only wish him all the best. And just, I do also believe he's could be out of contract for the end of the season. I could be mistaken, but it's just not look it's a very unfortunate sight for Woody, and just wish him all the best.
Yeah, poor timing, because he was, putting aside what happened up at Gosford a couple of weeks ago, putting that aside, he's looked pretty good, whether he started for us or come off the bench for us. He's had some of his best games in Sky Blue for us this season under Uffie. What else have we got to talk about? Redders up to fourth in our most appearances, 213 games. Gone ahead of Terry McFlynn, but sitting behind Wilko and some other bloke who used to play for us, whose name won't be mentioned. But he should catch Wilko at 221. I think that goes without saying. Will he catch the likes of Broski? I think that's a bridge too far, but very proud of Redders. He's been one of our favourites between the sticks, from Socceroos call-ups and the like to, the grey wiggle dancing around there between the sticks. He's been a great servant of the club, Nick.
Yeah, no, sensational servant for the club. The grand final penalty shootout, obviously in Perth, and yeah, just many great moments at the club. And in the easily probably being in discussion for one of our best goalkeepers, like sort of Bolton and Vukovic. So he's for some he probably exceeded both of them. So yeah, it's a very excellent team, and like what a great servant. Hopefully more appearances to come.
And like I mentioned earlier, the last bit of our around the grounds is the insane, and I think you might have tweeted or X'd about this, the insane price of trying to get
Yeah.
to Wank Bank or Comwank in a fortnight's time.
Yeah, I simply just comment, I mean, I've kept my opinions broad on this one, but it's not looking great, is it? I think like we can probably touch upon it because it is a Wanderers home game in the end, but I think it calls for a broader issue in the league. We've obviously seen with MacArthur's ticket sales haven't been the cheapest either, and like we can talk about how much inflation's going up for ticket prices in football and just sports in general, but it's not a good look in terms of grabbing in the neutrals and also the fans coming to one of these games. And obviously, it's a big fixture in Australian sport, but you for it's asking a lot for parents and even adults to just pay $50 for a ticket, and like the value is probably. Like even though it could be a good game in the end, it's probably not. It probably will turn a lot of people away from going to the game.
$50 for a general admission on a Saturday night, middle of the season kind of fixture is insane kind of money. Like, if I were to, I'm not a financial officer and working in the clubs and understanding that kind of thing, but I think a fair price for something like that would be, I don't know, 35, 30, 35. I think that would be reasonable. And
Yeah, and the arguments that like there's a discount for members, I think it goes down to about 31. But even like the fact that that should even be an option, I mean, like it's still like I said, it's a broader issue. It's not something that we can point the fingers at the certain clubs or definitely the league. But I think it's just a broader issue of what the game's going to be moved into with all these expensive ticket prices.
makes it very exclusive in the sense of it's excluding people, and we're trying to get new fans to the game. We're trying to get the fans who take their kids and or take themselves with an all-age team down to the fields on a Saturday, Sunday playing for their local club to then, want to then go to football that night. Soccer's the most represented sport across the country, but, head and shoulders above the rest. But when you put things at $50, and I know they're not the only ones guilty of this kind of pricing, it puts a lot of people off, especially over the last year and a half with the cost of living and inflation and interest rates and stuff like that. People just go, well, it's just not going to be a place where I want to put my cash. So
You don't blame people for putting their money to better use, and like God, we like. At the end of the day, we do love football, but there's a lot of more things we'd be rather spending our money on, especially $50.
and especially when the Rudan the prick, cries foul, oh, we're from the West, we're downtrodden, and they get the violin out and they sing that, sappy song. And then they price things at $50. Yeah, please. Anyway, honestly, I'm in two minds whether I go. I'll certainly watch the game, that goes without saying, but I'm in two minds whether I want to, schlep it out to Parramatta. So we'll see. Anyway, let's talk to about some football. We'll get over to the women's game first, who headed down to Canberra, down to MacKellar Park. The game finished AA. Well, that's what the graphic said. But no, the game was abandoned. I think it was about roughly, I want to say about 20 minutes in. The game was postponed or put on hold or pause. For some weather, for some shitty weather. And then game resumed. And then eventually it was absolutely called off. Torrential rain, horrible weather, people got soaked. The only thing I didn't see, Nick, was like a plague of locust. But other than that, and maybe the four horsemen. But unfortunately, the game got abandoned. But if I could just focus on the minutes of football that there were, it was a little bit strange to see Abby start in place of Kirsty at right back. I thought that was just odd move, and maybe there's like a little niggling injury or something. And Ante's like, well, if I don't need to play Kirsty, I won't. Some bigger games on the horizon there. But I just feel like just on the football that we had, Canberra are like, and Michelle might agree with me, especially for this season, a bit like our bogey team. We just We just can't score against them. For a team who's coming last, who's had 1,000 goals scored against them, their goals against is just ridiculous. Even their goals for is ridiculous for a team coming dead last. But we just can't score against them. Other teams will put two and three and four on them, but for some reason, I don't know, we just can't knock a couple of goals past them and call it a game. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, we can never know with like how the rest of the game might have gone with the stoppage and obviously the calling off the game. But yeah, it's isn't it pretty viewing for a Sydney fan if after experiencing the last game of not being able to score, like not even get a proper chance in
Yeah.
past the Canberra goalkeeper. Yeah, I guess it would have been maybe wouldn't blame people for thinking it's a repeat of the same, but I mean, you never know. There could have been some turnaround, but yeah, it's a very weird one to obviously it's something that even in the small amount of football they play in the game, it's something for Ante to look at and be like, this, how are we going to get past this Canberra team?
And it's a really important game because for those teams, in all due respect to them who are sitting dead last, you need 3 points. More the other teams, more often than not, are collecting 3 points against the likes of Canberra, with half a dozen games left in the season. I guess the question now remains is when will this game get rescheduled? Hopefully, it doesn't get rescheduled during this period where our six youngsters are away at the under 20s Asian Cup. It gets scheduled, I guess, when they get back, and we'll probably likely play a midweek fixture. Maybe it might be like the actual last game of the season, and then they play something midweek. But that also may actually that might not work because it might, where we finish will affect where the finals games are that weekend. So maybe we need the league needs more time to be able to organize fixtures, so they might want everything sorted out by then. But that'll be interesting to see, and that just put another layer of complexity or uncertainty as to what will happen with our last handful of games. So yeah, that's all I'll say about that. Well, we can say that. But let's head over to the men's game Saturday night at Fortress. Getting more fortressy, slowly, at
Slowly
Allianz.
but steadily.
Yeah, you were there, Nick. I watched from home because I'm old and pushing 40. You were there with your very lovely lady friend, watching a game. She's a Melbournian, I hear, so well done on converting.
Yeah. Thank you.
Doesn't go for an AFL team, does she?
We won't get into that.
Not a Collingwood supporter, hopefully.
No.
Okay, all right, she's all right.
I want out of it.
But look, 2-1 win, Nick. Happy, right? Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, I can't complain. I think, look, going into the game, I think with Adelaide's very surprising dipping form at this stage of the season. They started off like pretty good with all cylinders like flying with all their youngsters and all their players like really like getting into a groove. And I think they've had a few injuries coming along the way, but I think yeah, going into this game, I mean, wouldn't say it was I can guarantee win for Sydney, but it was definitely something a game that we could get 3 points from. And I think with how we played, I think it was much well deserved for Sydney to get the 3 points. And yeah, I think it was a good afternoon of football.
Yeah, pardon the cliche, but I think, yeah, we were the better team on the night, and certainly did more than enough to deserve to take 3 points. Were you surprised, not surprised to see Mac straight back into the side after a few games coming back and, a bit of time off the bench? You figured with no Woody, fair enough having the kind of the Fab, the Lolly, the Mac up front.
Yeah, I guess on paper, that's probably our best front three, you would say. I mean, with the experience we've had, I would say on form wise, and obviously Max had a bit of injury niggles, but I think he hasn't really been firing this season compared to last. And I think many would say he's very underperformed this season. I know you've definitely had that opinion this year, but
Back.
yeah, definitely, yeah. So I think I think to see him start was very surprising to see him like he gets in the right positions. He gets in the right like he's a, like he's still a very smart footballer. Like he's got the experience of playing in Europe, and he's played and he's been a decent player for Sydney. And I think with the goal and the build up play, he helped with like Caceres and the other midfielders. And with the goal he scored, it was very much well deserved.
Yeah, so yeah, I was okay with having Max start. I know I've been a bit critical, or not a bit, I have been critical of him this season. I thought might have seen a chance for Kucharski to start in place of Woody. I thought maybe Uffie might have gone that way, but I'm happy to see Max Burgess get back onto the field, kind of maybe quashed what I said previous week in terms of why did Max get any time out on the field against the Mariners. I thought that was quite strange, but he found his way onto the field on Allianz on Saturday night. But Max goal, nice, you
Yeah.
know. Well, it was a bit of, you know, a bit of a loose pass from Adelaide. Saris drives forward, drives into space, runs the ball quite well. One of his great attributes. Nice timing of a pass to Mac, and just a nice clinical finish.
Yeah, no, I can't ask for anything better. I think it's also, I think Caceres in the last couple of games has been unreal. I think he's really
We talked him in.
coming out of just nowhere or this form, and you've got to give praise to him, and he was very important to getting that goal. And like I said before, Mac took it really well, and at that point in the game, I think we were very dominant and we deserved that goal.
Fabio's goal gets on the score sheet, albeit through a pen, but a nice bit of work from Lolly to be able to, you know, draw the foul, and a deserved pen it was. From Adelaide, and look, as far as pens go, you know, it was without a doubt, like no one's saving that.
Yeah, no one's saving that. It was definitely a pen, and Fabio did dispatch it well. I would say I'd be very critical of how Fabio played during the game. I think there was a lot of, especially in the first half, a lot of good chances, or even just the ones that fall to his feet. Like there was a big deflection that came off Dalinov that came straight to Fabio's feet. Obviously, you can't do. Can't really do much with the ricochets. It basically missed an open goal from there. Just could have. I think he really could have done better. I'm not saying he didn't try, but I think, yeah, I think I don't know if someone a bit more clinical could have got into the right positions. But someone more clinical could have taken away those chances. Look, Grant happy he got the goal in the end with the pen, gave him a little bit of confidence, but. Yeah, I can't say I was overly impressed with his display.
Yeah, that was some feedback from Uffie after the game in that, you know, it's all well and good that we, you know, took the 3 points and at home in front of a very good crowd of, I think it's just a touch over 14,000.
Pretty good crowd, yeah.
But we should have put the game to bed with a third, if not fourth goal. Again, some of our finishing and, you know, being clinical in the final third just kind of let us down one too many times, which then opened up the door for Adelaide to get back into it, albeit very, 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 very late in the game. With Lopez's goal, just made the last, you know, handful or so of minutes a little bit, I don't know, nervy or maybe exciting for the neutral fan. But yeah, that should have been nothing but a consolation goal for Adelaide. And that would have been horrible if it, you know, Saturday night's game ended up like Victory's game last night, you know, with the 2 goals and added time. So luckily that wasn't the case for us on Saturday night.
Yeah, definitely.
So 5 games unbeaten under Taliban ball. You reckon we're seeing progress with like little by little, couple little blips with the Adelaide loss and Unite round, and probably the draw against Western down in Hobart. It felt like a little bit of a slight regression. But since Uffie's come on board, I think little by little we've got him better.
Yeah, definitely. I think this draws back to my thoughts at the start of Uffie's reign. Clearly, he's got a team that was definitely inherited by Corica, and he's still trying to figure out which is his best 11 and which is his best style of play and best formations, etc. But Yeah, I think with everything he's thrown out at the war, it's well, at least for these five games, it's been sticking. But yeah, I think we've deserved this unbeaten run. I think he, with the hard work, not just from Wolfie, from all the players, has been pretty telling. Like something we were, again, only three games in, but we were pretty critical of the team under Corica, and it's really shown that a lot of these characters, there's a bit more character in the team, and a bit more like fighting spirit. And I think that I think we'll touch into the defense, but I think it really shows how much they really pushed to get those 3 points in the end, despite Adelaide's last dead shot of trying to get a goal or two. But yeah, I think it's the form we've been in has been pretty good, and I think it's been pretty promising so far.
Yeah, because at some points earlier in the season, we were what, languishing in about 10th, 11th, and little by little, we've kind of chipped away. Found ourselves in fifth now. Only, let me do my maths, 5 points off second, which is Central Coast. Gosh, Wellington's doing well this year. But in saying that, I still feel like they're beatable, and just about any team's beatable on their day. But hey, most importantly, we're sitting above the Wanderers. Sitting above the Scum, so we're 1 point ahead of them, which will make, well, this weekend, but of course, Saturday week's game even juicier with where both teams are sitting on the table. So that adds another kind of layer or another kind of storyline. But we'll talk more about that. But you mentioned defense, Nick. I've got here the Jake Gerwood-Reich and Hayden Matthews centre back pairing. Is this the way forward? Is this a new dawn? Is this Wilko McGowan version 2.0, which I would say, and I think you'd agree, is our best, most recent centre back pairing that we've had, probably for the last almost 10 years. But the boys are doing well. The two youngsters are killing it.
Yeah, it's honestly been so like super impressed with their displays in the last two games. I did touch upon like on my Twitter. I do believe they're the best pairing we've had since Wilko and McGowan. And I think if you look at, I mean, I know people can say, oh, it's only been two games. What's the big whoop about? But I think with likes of Donaghy, Gerd, with Rowell not being the fittest, and even Gabriel, most would say he hasn't been too bad this season, but
Also.
for the fact that he came back fit, and I think maybe in a different scenario he would be back in there straight away. But I think it shows that the faith that Wolfie has in the two young boys, to start again, and obviously they showed their talents again, and the faith in Wolfie was really re rewarded. So yeah, I think it just it's props to them, props to Ulfi for having the faith in these boys and them to give back the performances that's needed. I think the fans love it. And I think yeah, is the way moving forward. Why not? Like
Very.
we've never seen this. We haven't seen this in a while from Sydney before, to have this faith in, like in that back, because with now even with Courtney Perkins, it's probably our youngest back four in quite a while outside of Grant. So
And Grant.
it's only promising things to see.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Yeah, Grant does kind of push up the average age of that back line a little.
Just
but
a
you know,
bit.
just a tad. But yeah, like for Hayden. First, few A-League games, very green, very fresh into the world of A-League men's football. Jake Gerwood-Reich is not actually really a centre back. He's a centre midfield. He's an eight, if not a six.
Yeah.
But the boys are fast, fit, agile. Their game IQ is really good and will only get better. That football intelligence. JCP, JCP, I admit I bagged him out, had a laugh at his expense, but he's, kept my mouth quiet because he's been very good over the last few weeks. When Rodwell comes back, I'm sure it will push one of those two boys onto the bench. I'd probably would lean probably say to ha Hayden first, with Jay kind of keeping his spot. And fair enough. Somebody of Jack Rodwell's caliber and experience or whatnot. Okay, fair enough. But and also, like you said, it's he's rewarded these two boys for great performances in recent weeks. So much so that it's kept Gabriel on the bench. So,
Yeah, exactly. And they'd be very like I think what you mentioned with Jake being a midfielder. Even when we played the two centre backs, Gabriel and Rodwell back, he still had faith in Jake to start in the midfield. So he's clearly got faith in these boys. And with right now, I think their display is deserving of the start of their starting berth. So we'll get into the next game soon, but I'm definitely having them start in the next game for sure.
really exciting. SFCU votes, Nick. Who would you give your 3-2-1 or 2-2-2 or 4-1-1?
I'm gonna give. I can do 3-3, can't I? For two players? No, I can't. Hold on.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
I can't. Oh, well, the.
How you distribute your six is entirely up to you.
Yeah, easy. So JGR and Matthews, done.
Okay. I'm gonna give two each for Hayden and Jake, and one each for, pains me to say this because I've been very critical of him, but Mac, and I thought Redis had a good game too between the sticks. So two each for Hayden and Jake, and then one each for Redis and Robbie Mac. All right, previewing. Oh, look, and the other thing we'll mention in terms of review, and we'll get better at doing this as the season rolls on, but I think it's worth mentioning, Nick, that the NPL boys started off their night, oh, sorry, off their season against Northwest Sydney Spirit Koalas, or whatever they're called now, up at the Arctic Circle, that is Christie Park, and ended in a nil-all draw. Watching the game, the boys, I will say, the boys started off a little bit slow. Spirit more on the front foot, a couple of early chances, a nice, square pass that it went just past the far post of Gus's goal. But the boys got back into it, worked hard, and they pretty much dominated the last, well, the other three quarters of the game, and probably coulda shoulda taken the 3 points, but I think, to keep a clean sheet, to take a point in your first game of the season with so many of their A-League boys not there, Nick, so no Amanatidis, no Glasson, no, who else, Jordan as well, a couple of other names. I don't know if Kacharski would necessarily qualify for them, or maybe a who else, Oscar Sella would be there. So just the timing of our A-League game being Saturday night, being the same time as the NPL boys game. But Thiago Quintal had a brilliant game. He probably should have put one of his chances away. And Zach De Jesus, you mentioned earlier to me while we're offline, he had some minutes as well. He had his time out on the field and was quite fantastic as well. So the NPL boys, I will quickly preview their game. I'll quickly mention their game. They've got Manly United Friday night, just around the corner from me, so I might wander over there at Rockdale or Linden at 7:30 p.m. kick off, and Rockdale will certainly be one of the teams to beat this season. So, if you want some more football this weekend, the NPL boys are up against Manly United. You should watch the highlights, Nick, of the Manly United game. I can't remember who they played, but I want to say St. George. Manly United player. Go watch the NPL highlights on YouTube. For the Manly United game, the goal, I think it was their first goal. Oh,
Oh, no. I saw this goal.
yeah.
Unreal. Completely unreal. That's
He
one of the
nutmeg.
best goals I've seen in quite a while, yeah.
He nutmegs the bloke and then runs towards the middle of the field and then like lobs the keeper, like chips. Yeah.
Oh no, sensational.
Yeah.
I heard the people I know people that were at that game and they just went ballistic. Like absolutely unreal. So as long as they don't pull tricks like that against us, no problem.
Don't do that against us, Manly United.
Yeah.
Do that for the week after. Let's have a quick. Oh, the girls don't have a pre. Don't no no girls game to preview this week. Nothing. No game. International break for the girls because the Matildas are playing
Saturday night, I believe.
Melbourne. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Against which Stan are they playing against?
They're playing,
The little
yeah,
Beck.
this Saturday against Uzbekistan.
Yeah, and then they got like midweek next week.
Yeah, and I believe that's. Oh no, wait. I think they do play.
I think,
Anyway.
yeah. So anyway, international break for the girls. And they'll play Saturday or, the following weekend. So nothing to say about the girls, but we'll talk about the men's game against big game, very interesting game against Melbourne City Saturday, this Saturday, 24th of Feb, up at Allianz, 5:30 kickoff, a little bit earlier than last week, 6 o'clock kickoff. So 5:30, do you say 5:30 in the evening or do you say 5:30 in the afternoon?
5:30 in the afternoon.
When does
Whatever
night,
the
when does nighttime start for you?
sick 6:37.
I'd say 6 o'clock for me. Like anything after six from six is nighttime. Anyway, I digress. We got Melbourne City. Nick, initial thoughts about the game. They're not doing too well, City, aren't they? Unusual territory being down in seventh.
It's listen, like it's always a weird one because like they've clearly got a team that's I guess built for the top six, but yeah, it's just like nothing's really clicked on them, especially in this. I mean, they had maybe a little bit of a good patch of form at the start of Vidmar's reign, but I think that I don't know, I can't really define or see any difference between the football they're playing under Radovitisic to compared to what they're playing under now. So yeah, I think I definitely think Sydney's in the better form. Obviously with five games unbeaten, but I think this is definitely a good chance for Sydney to get on top of them. Yeah, some of their best players, McLaren, obviously Lekki and Buddha coming back in. Arslan's out with that suspension.
It's eight games or something in six, eight, a lot. Got a lot.
He got a lot of it. No, he got four. He got four in total, I believe. Which
Got Leo back now as well, of course.
they do, yeah. So yeah, they've still got a good team, but I think they've got some very underperforming players in that squad. So yeah, like I said, I think this is the best opportunity for Sydney to pounce on them. We've had a few interesting clashes with them in the last couple of years. Since Sydney have been a successful club, but yeah, like I said, Sydney's been in the better form. I think this should. Not going to call it an easy game, but I think this should definitely be a game that Sydney need to pounce and get the 3 points.
Absolutely, yeah. While they're down, I don't want to jinx and say because Melbourne City, I don't know that they certainly haven't won in their last three. What do? They drew against Victory over the weekend, nil all. They then got
Go.
belted by Brisbane 5-1, and then they lost, I think, before that. Let me just double check. Yeah, the Perth game 4-2. They're a good. I love watching Perth play. And then I think they had a draw before that. So the last run of form is very uncharacteristic of City. So I'm just nervous that, they're kind of due for a win or something like that. But they're down in form. We're very much up in form. We're playing at home again, two Saturday night games in a row. We're pretty much got aside from Rodwell. And Woody, sorry, as well. We've pretty much got a full strength team. So there's so many reasons why we should get the 3 points this weekend.
Yeah, no, I agree. Also joking out as well, but I think other than that,
What was that one?
joking's out as well. I think he's still
Oh,
out injured too.
just because Jordan's been doing so well, I'm like,
No, exactly. Who would have thought? But yeah, like I said, I think Sydney's at least to mostly full strength, and they've got enough players performing at the moment. So hopefully get one on Melbourne City and get 3 points.
But it's going to be a massive test for our young back line, the likes of Jordan, but particularly Jake and particularly Hayden, respectfully, that they're going to have to deal with the likes of Naboo, Lecky, McLaren, Tilio, who are all very, very good players in their own right, albeit their team's not playing very well at the moment. So all the boys, especially our back line, will need to be on their best behaviour, on their best for the night. Fair to say, barring anything unforeseen during the week at training or whatnot, we'll see the same starting 11.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't think there's any reason to change what was a winning formula against Adelaide. So, yeah, I'll keep the same. No, I wouldn't make any changes.
Me too. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And maybe a little bit of movement on the bench with subs, maybe a Zach De Jesus or something like that. But I think we'll see little to no change for this weekend. So, Nicholas, what are we thinking here? We're thinking 3 points, but what are we thinking in terms of a score?
I'm going to go with a win for Sydney, but I'm going to go with another 2-1 win at home.
Yeah, I was going to hopefully kind of say that we'll get a clean sheet because last Saturday night was close, but no cigar. Could have, should have been. But, and then when I look at what attacking, what they have in that arsenal when it comes to scoring goals and the like, I just feel like they've got a goal in them. They may not win the game, but they've at least got a goal in them. So I agree with you. I think there will be 2-1 to Sydney as well, the better of the Sky Blues.
Yeah. Any goal scorers in particular?
Or is it me? I feel like it's been a little while since Lolly's been on the score sheet. Yeah, maybe a Lolly, and I hope my boy Maxi maybe might come on later in the game and get something. Actually, no. Well, yeah, but I'll say a Lolly AC. I think they'll get the 2 goals,
Yeah, good call.
or a brace from Jordan Courtney Perkins. Who knows? Who knows?
Modern day Roberto Carlos, if he does
That's
that.
it. Stranger things have happened. Now, Nicholas, are you ready?
Am I ready? Yes, I am.
For who's that Sydney FC player? Now, I couldn't decide which player to do. So I've picked four, but I'm going to allow you to pick, door number one, door number two, three. So A, B, C, or D. And then I'll go with
Ooh.
that one. So you've got a choice of four. Do you want player A, player B, C, or D?
Oh, okay, right.
We're
ABC.
not going to do all four. We're going to be here all night. But pick one of the A, B, C, or D.
It's easy to one or two. I'll go with two.
You mean player B?
Oh, B.
There you go. Good. All right. Now, I'm going to read this out very slowly. I'd like you to put it in the chat at the point where you think you've got it. And then I'll continue all the way along. So those playing at home in the car, they're sitting on the dunny, if they're, on the train headed to work, can continue to play along all the way to the end. So, do you understand the rules, Nicholas?
Yes, I do. I do.
All right.
So, go.
All right. First in his senior career. So the men's player, by the way. All the women's players, but first was the AIS, Australian Institute of Sport.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Then was Sydney FC for a couple of seasons.
Okay.
Okay, so AIS, then Sydney. Next he left and went to Rosenborg.
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 Oh, I think I already got it.
All right. Okay. Put in the chat. Next, for everyone else playing at home, I'll see if Nicholas has got this right. He went off to, how do I pronounce this in French? Lens. Or if I were to just pronounce it phonetically, Lens. But Lens, French. Then he headed off to NAC Breda. Then off to AGF, which is the, oh fuck, how do I pronounce that? God damn. Aarhus Gymnastikforening. It's Danish. God damn it. Then Grenoble. And now he finds himself in the MLS with the Colorado Rapids.
Oh.
There you go. So I'll read it out for those at home again. AIS, Sydney FC, Rosenborg, Lens, or Lens, Breda, and then that really crazy Aarhus Gymnastikforening. Oh God, sorry for all our Danish listeners. Grenoble, and then Colorado Rapids. And Nicholas, well done. You got it on the third team, on the third club.
Yep.
So Alex Gersbach, who was one of my favorite players. I always wished that he'd come back after
Oh,
all.
I'd still have him back.
Yeah.
He was such a delight when he first broke into the team.
After all, he's, after, I thought he might have come back after his handful of stints overseas in Europe and those Nordic countries and whatnot. Thought he might have, come back now, but born in 97, does that put him like at 26? Is he still, is that my,
That's it's about a couple of years older than me. So, yeah, he's 26 years old.
yeah, so he's still quite young. Like this,
Yeah,
he could have, I don't know, 8 to 10 years left in him.
which is wild because he still looks like a fresh 18-year-old.
Yeah,
He has
maybe he does. All right, Nick,
a.
let me do one more. Let me very another one because you got that.
Ooh.
So do you
All
want
right.
A, C, or D?
Oh, there was a fourth option. I didn't know that was D.
A, C.
Let's go for C.
All right. Same rules apply. I don't reckon you'll get this. Oh, maybe you will. I reckon it's harder than Gersbach. All right, Preston Lions. Melbourne Knights. It's Knights with a K.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know how to pronounce this. It's a Greek club. Panachaiki. Chaiki. Panachaiki. Sorry for all our Greek listeners. Then he went back to Preston Lions. And then he went off to Fawkner Whittlesea Blues, which is it's somewhere in Victoria. Okay, this is where maybe it starts to make a little bit more sense. All right. Have you got something on, you got something percolating?
I think I actually already know who it is, but I'll let you go ahead.
Right, Queensland Roar. Adelaide United. Then he went off to Korea to, apologies for all our, yeah. Songnam FC, did I say that right? South Korean, I think they're in K League 2 now. Then somewhere off into the Middle East, off to Qatar, Umm Salal, then to us, and then back to Preston Lions a couple of times. So I'll read it out very quickly. Nick, you're very good at this. Much better than Michelle. Preston Lions, Melbourne Knights, Panachaiki, back to Preston Lions, Fawkner Whittlesea Blues, Queensland Roar, Adelaide United, Songnam, Salal, then to us, and then back to Preston Lions. And that would be Ogdenovsky, the OG monster.
Og monster.
Og monster, that's it. Which one of those clubs gave it away? Oh, which
Honestly,
yeah.
from the very start,
Oh,
I
really?
think from the first two, I think Preston Lions, Melbourne Knights. I'm like, oh, there's not a lot of Melbourneians that's played for Sydney. I mean, there's been a few, but not ones who have been like of those type of clubs. And I'm like, I know Ogunosi went back to Preston Lions after Sydney, so I'm like, could be that. And then you meant, I think, was it a Greek club, the
Yeah,
third?
Anna Chike.
Yeah, because he's Oh no, I won't correct his nationality, but I think he's of that
Greek, Cypriot,
Greek,
something.
yeah, that's why I'm like, yeah, because he's got that long last name as well. So I'm like, oh, there'll be something, it's some connection, but yeah, I pretty much got it. And then Brisbane Roar was the main like confirmation, because that's where he started playing his early career, early football.
Very good, Nicholas. Very good. Well done. It's two from two. So well done. And hopefully everyone else, did nearly as well. But thank you, everyone. Nick, I think that draws us to a close this evening. Anything else you'd like to say? Any? You'll be there Saturday night, I imagine, or at least
No, I can't be there. No, I
date
wish, but
night.
of
Are you over at? Are you heading over to a core stadium?
course, absolutely not. No,
Okay, not a Swiftie.
not, no, 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 no,
No. Okay. I thought your lady friend might have dragged you along. She's like, well, you're taking me in an A-League game. You're coming to this.
no, absolutely not. I'd rather, oh God. There'd be many worse things I'd rather do than go to a Swiftie concert.
Yeah,
And I don't
absolutely.
think there'll be any one. I'm protecting this podcast. I won't be having any Swiftie fans going at me and this podcast. Hopefully not.
They'll be all over your Twitter by the time this goes to air.
They can go fuck themselves.
Absolutely. Look, thank you everyone for listening. Jono and the gang, should be back next week. Head over to Rockdale Linden on Friday night over on West Botany Road, West Botany Street, to watch the boys play Manly United at 7:30. The girls have the weekend off. However, the men were up against Melbourne City. Really big game. We've kind of developed a little bit of a rivalry with them in the same, but to a smaller degree with Victory and the Scum. So it'll be really important for us. So I think it'll be a really good yardstick to see how we're going, especially with our defence up against the likes of Naboo and Lecky and the gang. So we'll see you there Saturday night at 5:30 kickoff up in Allianz. I've been Sean. That has been Nick. You've been listening to Sky Blue Stories, and we'll chat to you next time.